You know, when we think about habits, imagine you think about one habit that can help you get healthier, maybe a habit of eliminating sugar from your diet, or one habit that can make a difference in your finances, like a habit of not using a credit card. But here's a question. What's one habit that you could develop in your marriage that could save a marriage or make your marriage more intimate or closer? I want you to hang in there with me because in today's show, you're going to hear not only one, but several habits of people that they put into their marriage that make a difference. And we'd like to hear yours as well. We're talking about love habits, you know, those habits that we have in our marriage that build intimacy and closeness. One of the core principles of intentional living is developing better habits. You know, we live in the moments, and the research shows that about 47% of what we do is related to the habits that we have. And so today, hopefully, we can build some better habits for our marriage. Let's get started. A few weeks ago, Kim opened our program, and her marriage sounded like it was close to being on the brink, but I want you to just take a listen to the beginning of her call once again.
Hi, Randy. This is Kim. I'm from Texas, and I listen to your show all the time, and I've had a tremendous amount of marital problems. My husband and I, we argue a lot. We have almost went to the divorce state, and I just don't know what to do.
And you know, if that was the end of Kim's story, we'd be discouraged and we'd know that intentional living doesn't work, but it does. It can make a difference. We've seen it, and you're going to hear some testimony of that today. In fact, that's not the end of Kim's story. This is.
I have been doing the 30-day challenge, had some marriage issues, and started just thinking that I needed to start working on myself. That was what my prayer time was, and I started working on things I could do for my marriage, one of them being hugging my husband because I'm not a very affectionate person. Second one was to start complimenting him more. And then, of course, the last one would be to look at him when he's talking to me and put down my phone. The result of all of that challenge is that he has responded amazingly and now wants to hug me, compliments me, and now he does the same for me on most of these things and just does a lot of things just randomly for me. So it has worked tremendously on our marriage. So I just want to thank you for everything you do, and I greatly appreciate it, and I encourage everyone to do the 30-day challenge.
Amen. Thank you, Kim. Listen, think about it. If for the next 30 days, like Kim, you were to do one thing different in your marriage, just one thing, what would it be, and what difference would it make or has made in your marriage? I think this is such a powerful message from intentional living. I'm surprised it's not taught more often. About what's one thing, just one. We go to conferences, and I've been guilty of this over the years of teaching or writing, and we come with a long laundry list of things you got to do to have your marriage work. And usually those things are good things. But the reality is we take the stuff back, we put it on the shelf, and we don't do anything. We fall back in the old pattern because we get discouraged. We don't feel like we can do everything we're supposed to be doing to be the perfect Christian in our marriage. And I'm challenging you to just simply say, what's one thing, what's a love habit, one love habit that I could develop in my marriage for the next 30 days that would make me feel better and hopefully make our marriage better? And we got stories to show that it works. So we'd love to hear your story as well on our comment line, 888-888-1717. Jessica's up first from Michigan. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. What one thing or what love habits have made a difference in your marriage?
Well, it took me 10 years to learn. My husband and I are getting ready to celebrate 10 years of marriage, and we got married really young. I was 19 and he was 20. We were going through a time where, you know, it seemed like so many things were going really great in our marriage. You know, there weren't really any problems. But my husband was going through a lot of stress at work and just really frustrating situations. And he was, you know, really taking that out on me and, you know, just our family and stuff like that. And there was one morning that he left and he was just, I think, dreading having to go right back into what he knew he was going into and just really hurtful and just not kind, not loving to me. And And he left, and when he left, I pray every morning for him when he leaves. And I remember praying to God and just asking him, you know, how am I supposed to love him? Like, he is being so rude and so kind, and it's not me, and, you know, kind of all of that. And I remembered something that our pastor told us in our premarital counseling. In an instant, he just put on my heart, you know, you have to love him like Jesus loves him sometimes, and not like the human flesh and blood, you love him. And I just thought about that a lot. Like, what if I loved him like Jesus loves him? You know, what if I loved him even when he sins, even when he's angry, even when he's hurtful, especially when I know that it's not about me and it's about something else he's going through. And so I just did that. I started to be kind when he wasn't kind. And when I realized it wasn't about me, and it really opened up a lot of conversation, and it helped him to see his own sin in anger, because we're all going to be angry, but, you know, we're first certainly told not to sin out of that anger. And I just constantly told him I was praying for him when I really was, and praying for his peace, and praying for these problems at work. And it just made such a huge difference for us. It really has. He's just so much more kind to me in those moments. I can see it.
Yeah. So what I understand, Jessica, is when he would get angry, you'd get angry, but you decided not to do that any longer. You took a different approach. And did that kind of throw him off? Like, who is this woman now? Who's this woman I'm married to? What's going on?
Yeah, where I would just like shut down because he's just being so angry. And I would just be like, okay, whatever. You know, you want to be angry. It's not even my problem. It's not even me. And I would just start to be really kind to him and ask him, okay, so what are you thinking? That's really frustrating, or whatever I could say that would kind of try and get him to talk a little bit more. And it made a huge difference.
Yeah. How's your marriage today?
Oh, wonderful. We really do. We have, just a really, really deep love for each other.
That's fantastic. Listen, this stuff works. This intentional living material that we teach, this is God's idea. I mean, we're intentional living, but God is the intentional God, and he just illustrates over and over, day after day, the people we talk to, like Jessica, who are saying, I'm doing the next right one thing. I'm choosing to be intentional. It's not about perfection. It's not about always being right, or it's about being the right person. And whatever the issue is, today we're talking about marriage, but you know, these one thing principles or these habit things that we talk about work in other areas of your life. Maybe you've got relationship problems at work. Think about what one thing would make a difference, a new habit that you could introduce in the workplace for yourself for the next 30 days that would make a difference. Or maybe it has to do with your health. Come on now, we know what that means. What's one thing for 30 days, not 50 things? You know, those of us who, we run hot and cold. You know, when we run hot, we got to do everything. And then we get cold because we get discouraged. But if you just kind of very systematically every day doing the next right one thing, you want to grow spiritually, what's one thing that's going to help that? It's not going to happen by osmosis. You don't wake up one day and say, wow, look how much I've grown spiritually. You grow spiritually through your prayer life, through your reading, through your meditation, through what you fill your mind and heart with. It's a daily decision. And what we're hearing, and Jessica just told us, she just said, hey, I'm not going to respond in kind. And her whole marriage has been radically changed. Now, does that mean every time you change, everybody around you is going to change? Not necessarily. But there's something that happens inside of us when we make that decision. Okay, thank you, Jessica. I'll be back. We've got Kay and Julie standing by, and others as well, as we're talking about the love habits that can make a difference in your marriage. Don't go away.
My name is Charlotte Mann. I'm from Albuquerque. Dr. Randy is having what you would tell your younger self right now. I would tell my younger self to start living intentionally earlier. Thank you for the work that you do. God bless you. Bye.
And boy, do I agree with you on that. I would tell myself the same thing. I look back, you know, at my stage in life and think, how would I have handled relationships differently? Health, certainly I know I would have done some things differently now as I look back. But, you know, I tell people it's a rearview mirror in the car that gives you a glimpse of the past. Because we can learn, you know, where we've been and see what's behind us. But if we linger there too long, we end up crashing into the thing in front of us. And so we take a glimpse, but we keep our eyes focused on the future, where we are today and where we're headed. That's what the Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. He kind of moves the rearview mirror. I've looked, okay, I see it, I recognize it, good and bad. Move that mirror. I choose to press toward the goal, the forward motion. And that's what intentional living is all about. So thank you, Charlotte, for reminding us of that. I appreciate it. You know, we're talking about love habits today, and here's a fact. We become much like the habits we choose to develop in our lives. If we have good habits, godly habits, habits that build our lives, we're going to have better results. If we have poor habits, negative habits, destructive habits, well, it's pretty apparent what will happen in our life. And so we're here to help you. We're going to encourage you. We talk about love habits. We talk about decluttering our lives, doing the next right one thing. And of course, first and foremost, making that decision to give your life to Christ and then choose intentionally, say, I choose to follow Him. And that's where we fit in. We want to be a part of that journey with you.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
We started with Kim, who from Texas said we were on the brink in our marriage. They backed away, and Kim decided to develop some love habits. She took two or three things and said, these are the things I'm going to do for a 30-day challenge. And that was the beginning of a transformation in her marriage. And we've been asking, what's one thing that has made a difference to you, a love habit? So let's go to Kay in Michigan, who wants to join in as well. Kay, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Go right ahead. What are you doing? What's the love habits in your marriage?
My husband would get frustrated and vent when he was angry. And in the beginning of our marriage, it would let that, you know, upset me, and it would escalate to arguments. But after a while, I started just being still and being quiet and not letting his frustration and anger work me up. And it made a big difference in our marriage.
Interesting. Similar to what Kim was saying. In other words, you chose to not respond in kind to what he would do. And what happened when you started to do that in your marriage?
He would apologize afterwards, and then we were able to talk about it. So it was more of a, you know, calm talking rather than, it just changed our communication, and it just made a big difference.
And about how long have you been doing this in your marriage now?
Well, we've only been married for 10 years, so like 8 years now. So it's like we're adults.
You're all grown up now, right?
Yeah.
You know, listen, we talk about the first 7 years of marriage statistically are the most difficult, and most marriages that end in divorce, not all obviously, but most that do tend to in the first 7 years, because you can't get through some of these battle points. And what you decided to do is say, hey, this isn't working. We're past the honeymoon now. We're a couple years into the marriage, and you decided to be a little more quiet and silent and let him kind of stew in his frustration. And he woke up he probably heard himself thinking, hey, I don't have anybody to argue with anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. And so how would you characterize your marriage today, Kay?
We both have just learned how to communicate rather than fight. And the biggest thing is it's a peaceful home for our children. And setting a better example, as soon as, even now, he still will get upset, but even now when he does, it's like I'm just quicker to recognize it. And it's a more peaceful home environment, and it's just a better marriage all around. Gets upset and says things that push my buttons or make me feel like I want to stand up for my rights. It's like, nope, now is not the time. He's too upset. We'll wait till things are calm.
That's good. Good principle. Hey, listen, life is filled with these little habits that make a difference. And marriages that work the habits and make them work in their marriage. Okay, thank you, Kay. Appreciate it. Let me get Julie on the line in New Mexico. Julie, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate it. What have you learned about the right love habits?
Well, my husband and I was 40 when we got married for the first time for both of us, and he was 37. And I don't remember exactly how far into the marriage, but probably close to 10 years. For some reason, one day, it just hit me that I had not given my husband headship. And what I mean by headship is that I've always been the one to take care of the finances in our home. It's not that it was better serving us as a couple for me to just do the work of the finances. But I wasn't even kind of including him for a while. But once I realized that he needed headship, and what that really looks like is that with the finances, I would go to him and say, okay, this is what we have coming up. This is what I would like to do, and then get his input on where that money was going, when it was going. And sometimes if there was a larger purchase, I would get his input. Of course, we never spend more than, you know, a few $100 or $100 without talking to each other. But once I let him have what I call the right of refusal to say not right now for that purchase, and so I'm not always okay with it, but yet letting him have the leadership role in that, it always turned out for the better. And when I let go and let him, and then we also respect showing regardless of where he is, showing respect. And it's really about my relationship with God more than anything. Probably the other one is two things, really. Thanking. Our husbands cannot be thanked enough for the sacrifices they make every single day to provide for their family. And we never had children, but still, he's a hard worker, and I really try to never miss an opportunity to say thank you and to say you are doing such a great job, or to genuinely compliment how much he's grown or where he's come, how far he's come.
That's good. Listen, those are the things that make a difference, Julie. I think you tapped into the essence of men and some of the things you've said there. Men really thrive with that feeling of respect. They're feeling it's a respect thing. That's the way men are wired. And when our wives show that kind of respect in words and deed, and honestly, it makes a big difference. And at the same time, we know that women need respect and love as well. So it cuts both ways. And when that happens, when we have a marriage that's filled with love and respect and affection and honest communication, I don't know how you can go wrong with that. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. But if we were just to simply say, I want to add love, respect, good communication to my marriage, and we practice those things, just like you heard Julie introduce into her marriage, it'll revolutionize your relationship. It really will. That's intentional living. Julie, thank you for your call today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We'll be back. Roosevelt wants to join in from Georgia, and we'll get to his call in a moment. And some other things for you before we wrap up today's Intentional Living.
Indecision. We've all experienced it. You have to make a choice, but you don't know which way to go.
Yes and no really are intentional words. They're powerful, they're directive, they're clarifying, they're energizing. Any number of choices come down to the intentional living power of saying yes or no.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, The Power of Yes or No, you'll learn to move past indecision and effectively navigate life's tough choices by living an intentional life and saying yes to the things that matter. When you say yes to supporting Intentional Living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
What I want to do in this lesson, because we're talking about yes and no, these two out of 170,000 words in the dictionary that Jesus chose to take out and put before us to say, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So it means something. It should mean something to us, right? And in the intentionals, there's 10 things, very briefly, to help us make our yeses and our nos work for our good. First of all, consider the consequences before you say yes or no. And whenever you say yes, there's going to be a consequence. Stephen Covey said, while we are free to choose our actions, we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions. Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. You and I, we all know people, right, who have said yes to things that you know they should have said no to. And the consequence was just around the corner. Other people could see it. And God refers to that as being a simpleton. Pretty powerful. And so considering the consequences before we say yes or no. A really practical lesson featured this month, let your yes be yes, your no be no. An excerpt from the teaching on our exclusive site for our member community around the world, frankly. And I thank those of you who are supporting us and reminding you all as monthly members that entire teaching is available. It's up on our website. You have that little code we sent you. And if you say, oh, I lost it, missed it, which I understand, lots of different codes these days, please let us know. Contact us in an email, call, whatever, and we'll make sure that you get that. For new members, as you join us in monthly support of the Intentional Living Ministry closing out this year and helping us as we move into 2026, I say thank you in advance, and we'll make sure we send the acknowledgement along with the code that you can keep when you sign in to the website at theintentionallife.com. Get access to all that teaching and all the archives that we have from many years of really practical but specific teaching on how to live intentionally in marriage, family, finance, and in life. And it's all there for you. Just go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 2. And I want to say on behalf of our entire team here, God bless you and thank you so much for being a part of Intentional Living. Your support is making a difference, impacting people for Christ. Are in-laws a blessing or a curse to your marriage? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. It says in Genesis chapter 2 that we're to leave and to cleave, and this idea of leaving and cleaving has very little to do with location. You can be far away from your family and still have problems building unity in your marriage. Or you can live next door to your in-laws and have great unity in your relationship. Remember, the role of in-laws is to support the one that we love, our family member, in being successful in that relationship that they've chosen to enter. Sometimes that's not easy to do, but our role is to pray for them and support them. And if we have advice that we'd like to offer, make sure that we're asking for permission before we do. So here's a one thing challenge for us for this next month. Agree and lovingly confront as needed if leaving and cleaving is an issue. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
All right, what's your one thing in this area of love habits? I think Roosevelt has got a whole bunch of these one things he wants to share with us. And so, Roosevelt, my friend, welcome to the program. Go ahead. What have you learned about love habits in your marriage?
I have been with my wife for September 21st, be 43 years. And I'm 61, but back about over 20 years ago or so, we was living in the same household, yet I was living in one room for 5 years, and she stayed in the other room. And I prayed about it, and what I did start doing back then, I started just serving her. The kids was had grown, or one was senior high school and stuff like that. Well, it was grown. And I started doing the things that she had done for the kids while they was at the house. So I started cooking for her, and that made a difference because now she cooks Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. And I would feed her, and I massage her shoulder hurt, I massage it, I run a bath water. I would always tell her I love her every morning and kiss her because she was kind of like, what do we mean? She was shy. She did not want to hold my hand in public and hug and stuff like that. I was very, had a lot of passion that I want to share an affection. And started dealing. It took quite a few years. And now she kisses each other every morning. I open the car door for her. I open the door for her when we're going in business and stuff. And she appreciates that.
Yeah.
And I yield to the lesser vessel. If there is something that's inside of me, I get it out, and then I hear it myself, and I go back and apologize to her. No matter, I don't let it wait. If I say something to her that morning that offends her, and God or he give me the insight of how it affected her, I would get up and go down to her job, and I would apologize to her.
Mm. Listen, what you're doing here, Roosevelt, is you're taking 43 years of knowledge and experience, and you're living it out. See, there's a couple things that can happen in our marriage, and I think you're an example. You can either get sour because it's not working, and every year is just an add to the sourness of your marriage until eventually you just die. Or you say, you know, this ain't working so well. Things aren't what I should be doing here. And you intentionally, Roosevelt, said, hey, I'm going to start drawing a bath for her. I'm going to start cooking. I'm going to start loving her in very practical ways, very hand-oriented. You're kind of a hands guy, get it done kind of a guy. And she responded to that. That's made a difference. Here's the key when you think about being on the brink with your marriage. Now, you may have some really serious issues that need to be confronted, and I understand that. But if your issues are basically we've just grown apart, we're not on the same page, we're not communicating any longer, you have to take those very first steps to back away from the brink. And Roosevelt's an example, and many of the calls we've had today are reminding us that, but just by doing the next right one thing. Can I challenge you for the next 30 days and say, for this month, I'm going to intentionally make it one thing, one love habit I'm going to really put into my marriage? Just one thing. What would it be? I've seen over 30,000 people stand at our conferences, and those are just the ones who have stood and have made a one thing commitment for their marriage for 30 days. I'm challenging you by the thousands, but you personally, wherever you are in the country or wherever you're listening around the world, to say, here's one thing that I'm going to commit to for my marriage for the next 30 days. And it may be as simple as saying, hey, I'm going to start cooking every night, or I'm going to start giving my spouse a hug every day, or I'm going to speak a word of encouragement, or I'm not going to criticize them, or we're going to sit down and talk about the money, and I'm not going to just make the decisions myself any longer. Whatever that one thing is that you know will push that button, not the button to create more problems, but the button that'll create more intimacy in your marriage. And you start pushing that more often every day for the next 30 days. And then you tell me at the end of this month how your marriage is different. I'd love to hear it. All right, those are our thoughts from Intentional Living. We'd love to hear yours as well. If you missed any part of the program, it's available online to you on demand. I'm Randy Carlson. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.